Michael, we're talking about the age of these mines, and you were telling us that they could be very old.
Yeah, I was just trying to bring a bit of logic to this because, you know, these things aren't presented to us on a platter. It takes a long time to start seeing the wood for the trees and realizing what's been going on here. So if all these ancient ruins were covered by the flood that the Bible talks about, which I'm now convinced this is what wiped the civilization out, which I'm talking about the flood that a lot of people, geologists, archaeologists, seem to agree on this time, the 11,500 BC event, the deluge, and so forth. Then we've had about 12,000 years of intermittent rain since it happened. And slowly but surely, the rain washes the sediment off the tops of the mountains down into the valleys and so forth, exposing the ruins on tops of the mountains more so than the other ones down the side. So originally, it seems like there are more of these stone ruins on tops of the mountains, but that's just really an effect of water and erosion washing it down. But at the same time, it opened up many of these adit mines into the side of the mountain, exposing those, which I believe were just rediscovered by the gold miners and the explorers of the 1800s when they came looking for gold. And it's quite interesting. They must have been absolutely blown away when they realized that wherever there are stone circles, there are ancient gold mines. And they went and they reopened and reworked these ancient gold mines. And the reason I say this is because there are several other references to ancient gold mines that come from the most unexpected areas. The one area I get from two independent individuals who don't know each other at all, so the possibility of them making up the story is it's not possible. And that is when they were mining in the cities in South Africa, northern South Africa, sinking shafts into the ground, down into the ground. So now we're dealing with underground gold mines and not adit mines into the side of the mountain. At about 100 feet, they discovered passages running in different directions with tools and artifacts that they didn't know what they were for and where they were from. And this puzzled them, you can imagine, because this is not supposed to be there. You know, they think they're digging into virgin territory. Suddenly they're finding ancient passages underground. And what they did at that stage, they called in the Marensky Reef people, who are the experts, and they're involved in gold mining and from the earliest times. The Marensky Reef people arrived and took the tools and artifacts, confiscated those, and said, thanks for calling us. We are aware of this phenomenon, and they left, not explaining anything. And if this happened to two individuals that were mining gold, you can imagine how much more of this must have been going on and how much of this underground vanished passages there are. And then we get to De Beers, the giant diamond mining De Beers. I've heard reports that in the 90s, De Beers unexpectedly found an ancient mine that's 22,000 feet deep.
And 22,000 feet deep?
22,000 feet deep, yep. A mine shaft that was cut with such precision that it absolutely scared them. They had no idea how this was done, who did it, and it was done with precision that would indicate advanced knowledge of some sort of laser technology. And it is at this moment that I get very excited because I believe I have found the source of this laser technology, how it worked, the kind of tools they used, and how they generated the energy to do this kind of stuff, this unthinkable stuff that we can't imagine today.
Don't hold back, Michael. What's the source?
Well, you know what? We've been given the source on a platter over the last 130 odd years. Several people in America, especially, have come and given us this information. John Keeley in 1888 gave us the source. Sound frequency was the source that he used for his levitation, for drilling holes, for crushing giant blocks, for disassociating water. He did this with sound. Right? What the important thing that John Keeley told us is that His sound device that he created for doing all this stuff was calibrated to the energy fields of his own personal body. So when his friend arrived and said, I want to try this myself, he said to him, okay, but first I need to calibrate the device to the energy field in your body. And I mention this very simply because it's little clues and links like that that give us invaluable clues to ancient cultures, like, for example, the Egyptians and the use of the Ankh and the fact that every god in Egypt had their own Ankh calibrated to their own body. You see them all carrying their own Ankhs. And since we know that the Ankh was the key for healing and the universe, eternal life and universal knowledge. And we see in beautiful wall paintings in Egypt how they use the Ankh for healing. And then we see that they all had their own Ankhs, which I would believe suggests that they had those because those were calibrated to their own energy fields in their body, just like John Keeley suggested you have to do. So sound is the frequency. And then Nikola Tesla gives us a very key support to this a little bit later when he built the Tesla Tower. In his notes on his research, he makes a very important statement. He says that the earth rings like a bell. And if you know how to tap into the sound frequency of this bell ringing earth, you can use the source of the sound source of the earth as a source of energy wherever you are. And I believe this is what he did and then turned into his radiant energy that he could distribute around the planet. Now, this is what the ancient civilizations did. They understood this very, very acutely. And that's why one of the important discoveries that I made was, and these are simple questions. This is the other amazing thing, George. The stuff is so obvious. It stares us in the face. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, because it's not simple to decode this stuff.
And the only conclusion is the logical conclusion, Michael, that these things were very, very old, done by civilizations that were very, very advanced.
Absolutely. I did a quick calculation of just the roads, what we originally called roads, these walls that linked. It's two walls that look like a road, but it's not a road. Now we call it a channel. And these channels connect all of these original stone circles. They're connected by these channels. It's like a giant grid. And you've got to ask yourself, what on earth would ancient cultures need these channels that run from circle to circle, connecting them all together? And unfortunately, this is where you get the ignorant historians that step up to the plate and they pull out a real winner out of the bag of nonsensical tricks. And they write stuff like, well, these were roads built by the such and such a culture and such and such a culture for driving their cattle on. And this is what they put in history books. And I'm not kidding you. It's just such garbage, and they make the stuff up because they just have no other reference to anything more scientific.